Well, good day, everybody, and Happy New Year. Welcome here to the Panic Podcast for the first, is it the first Monday of the new year? I guess it is, isn't it? Nice to have you with us today. Today we're going to be talking about the God of yesterday and the God of tomorrow. And we're going to be all over the Bible. So get strapped in and we'll get started in a second. Well, I hope you all had a very, very good Christmas holiday, and I hope Santa Claus was good to all of you, and I especially hope that you're looking forward to the new year with good cheer and courage and especially optimism. I shared this at church yesterday that I think 2026 is going to be a phenomenal year for God's people. And I hope that you're maneuvering yourself into position to receive all that God has for you. 2026 is going to be your year to receive great things from God. But you got to be ready, and you got to be looking for looking for Him to move, and anticipating His moving in your life and in your community. I want to talk just for a few minutes about the God of yesterday and tomorrow, and I was really struck by a number of things as I was reading through various parts of the Bible over the past couple of weeks while we've been on vacation. Malachi 3:6, the Lord says, "I, the Lord, do not change." And I think we say that, and I think in our brains we know that it's true, but I think sometimes we get the impression that He changes. And I hope I can disabuse you of that impression today. As we begin, it's the 5th of January in a new year, and I guess the end of one year, and the beginning of a new year, I think it causes most people to think about the past and the future, about yesterday and tomorrow. And, you know, this can be a good thing or a bad thing. Like some people, and you probably know people like this, they have a tendency to think only in terms of the past. And they live in the memories of yesterday. They just can't seem to get past it, you know. I kind of feel sorry for people like that because they miss out on what's going on today. But then you have other people who they would rather forget about the past, which is not a good thing. They want to ignore the present, which is also a bad idea. And they just dream about tomorrow. They literally live in a fantasy world, and that's not good either. I think that when we look ahead to 2026, I think a lot of us think about things we need to do. Like buy a new car. I had to do that. My old Kia finally it's giving up the ghost, and we found a new vehicle. Well, new to me vehicle. Other people will look at the house and think, it's time to paint the house, or we need to paint the trim, or I think we're going to need a new roof this year. It's time to replace the roof or replace this or that. A lot of people think about newness in a new year. Well, something that I like to do early in every new year is to inventory past blessings. Like, try to remember all that God has done for me or for my wife and I throughout the previous year. My wife and me, I guess, is correct English. And I think that this is a really, really excellent and a productive thing to do because, like, if you're honest while you're doing it, you'll be very humbled by a number of things. First of all, like in my case, when I looked at just the blessings that God gave me personally, but God gave, my family, I was humbled by God's constant devotion to me. And I say that's humbling because my devotion to him was nowhere near as constant, I'm embarrassed to say. And also, I'm humbled by all the things that God either did for me or gave to me out of the sheer abundance of his generosity. Because I didn't deserve the blessings. I didn't do anything to earn the blessings. You know, there's no merit in my behavior. That's humbling when God just gives out of the abundance of his generous heart. And especially I'm humbled by the many times that God literally kept me from making dreadful decisions. So the proper evaluation of the past, I think, will enable all of us to think like David. When he wrote this, he said in, Psalm 103 verses 1 and 2, "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits." You know, David, he's like speaking to his soul here concerning the goodness of God in the past. And this encouraged him to face the future with courage and good cheer. So we can rejoice in that the God of yesterday is also the God of tomorrow, because God is never out of date. He is never obsolete. God is certainly no antique. And he doesn't change models every year. He's consistent. He's dependable. The God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the unchanging and unchangeable one, who is always more than adequate for the needs and the stresses of the changing circumstances in which we find ourselves in an ever-changing world. Well, let's talk about the God of yesterday for a second. There's a really important verse over in Hebrews. Let's see. It's Hebrews chapter 13, verse 3. It's a verse everybody knows, but they don't know where it is. So here's where it is. It's Hebrews 13, verse 3. And if you don't have it highlighted in your Bibles, you should. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You got that? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Abraham had a son whose name was Isaac. And the story is found in Genesis 26. We're not going to read the story. I just want to tell you about it. But you might want to read it sometime. Isaac walked to the wells that his father had dug decades earlier. And in the interim, the Philistines, out of spite, filled them in with dirt. Isaac found the wells and he opened them back up, but he didn't rename them. He called them by the exact same names Abraham had given them: Shechem, Sitna, and Rehoboth. Why? Well, because the God who provided water for Abraham in the past was still providing water for Isaac in his present. The God of yesterday hadn't changed. Now, many years later, Jacob fled from Esau, slept on a stone, which was his first mistake. And he dreamed the craziest dream in the Old Testament, I think. He dreamed of a ladder that reached all the way from the earth to heaven. And Genesis, the whole story is in Genesis 28. Verse 13 says, "Above the ladder stood the Lord and said," now get this, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying." So God didn't appear and introduce himself as a new deity with new promises. He was the exact same God who wrestled with Jacob's father at Peniel and who saved Isaac during a devastating famine. And at Bethel, Jacob discovered that the God of yesterday was still speaking today. Well, centuries passed, and a fugitive by the name of Moses stood before a burning bush in the desert, and he asked for God's name. Exodus 3:6. Then God answered, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." Yeah, the same God who walked with those great men in Canaan now walked with Moses in the deserts of Midian. The God of yesterday was about to become the God of tomorrow's Exodus. And after Moses died, Joshua picked up the mantle and he stood on the very brink of Canaan. But he was terrified, and God's first words to Joshua were not a strategy, but identity. Joshua 1:5, God said to Joshua, "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life." Now pay attention to this. "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." A lot of you think Jesus said that first. No, his father said it. Joshua 1:5. The same presence that split the Red Sea was about to stop the Jordan River in its tracks. The same voice that thundered from Mount Sinai now whispered courage to a new leader. And Joshua learned that the God of yesterday's miracles is the God of today's battles. These stories form a chain across generations. From Abraham to Isaac, from Isaac to Jacob, from Jacob to Moses, from Moses to Joshua. But think about it. Each link in that chain could have been broken. Like children could have forgotten. Empires could have erased the memory. Yet the refrain never changes. I am the God of your fathers. Our God refuses to be trapped in the past or confined to the future. He is eternally present and eternally faithful. Now, if you're tempted to think that God has forgotten you, remember Isaac digging up those old wells and finding fresh water. When doubt says that your story is disconnected from the great stories of faith, remember Jacob meeting with God, the God of his fathers at Bethel. When the future looks bleak and impossible, remember what God said to Joshua, "As I was with Moses, I will be with you." The God who always kept his word yesterday is keeping it right now. Now, the God of yesterday, though, has actually revealed himself in Jesus Christ. "I am who I am," spoke from the burning bush back in Exodus 3:14. Well, centuries later, Jesus Christ stood in the temple and he said this, "Very truly I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am." Now that's terrible English, because we expect Jesus to say, "Before Abraham was born, I was." That's not what he said. "Before Abraham was born, I am." The God of yesterday didn't just send a messenger. He came himself. In Jesus Christ, the eternal I am stepped into human skin, revealing forever who he has always been. God, in Jesus, we learn that God is personal. Like the God who walked with Adam in the cool of the day in the garden, who asked Abraham to look up and count the stars, who wrestled with Jacob until dawn, now has a face. John 14, verses 8 and 9, Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Yeah. The God who called Moses by name from the burning bush, then called Mary Magdalene by name at the empty tomb. You know, yesterday's God was never distant. In Jesus, he's touchable. He is approachable. He's tear wiping. Now, God is also gracious. We learn this from Jesus. Remember when this happened to Moses? In Exodus 34, verse 6, as God passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Well, that exact same God, thousands of years later, hung on a cross. And he said this, Luke 23:34, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. A lot of Christians are under the impression that the God of the Old Testament was like vengeful all the time, angry. But I want you to understand that every act of mercy in the Old Testament, like sparing Nineveh, clothing Adam and Eve, accepting Abraham's offering, or Abel's offering, every act of mercy in the Old Testament finds its ultimate expression on a cross on Mount Calvary. That's because grace is not an Old Testament invention. Grace is the eternal heart of the God of yesterday, now fully revealed in the bleeding hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, our God is also purposeful. And what I mean by that is this. From Genesis to Malachi, history was moving toward Bethlehem. Every promise, every lamb slain, every prophet's cry pointed forward. Galatians 4:4 says, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. At exactly the right time, the fullness of time, the King James Version says, God sent his son. The God who told Abraham, through your offspring, all nations will be blessed, actually kept that appointment in a manger, a feeding trough when Jesus was born. That's because Jesus Christ is the yes to all of God's promises. 2 Corinthians 1:20, Paul writes, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. yesterday's covenants didn't evolve with the passing centuries. They literally exploded into fulfillment when the Word became flesh. Now, God is also dependable. Joshua was assured by God, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Jesus says, I'm with you always. Look at the God who never abandoned Israel in the wilderness, who preserved a remnant through the Babylonian exile, who brought his people home ultimately, proved his steadfastness most gloriously when the tomb of Jesus stayed empty. The resurrection is literally the final seal. The God of yesterday keeps his word even beyond death itself. In Jesus, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is no longer only known through smoke and fire and earthquakes and prophecy. He has a name that we can speak, wounds that we can touch, and a promise we can trust. Jesus said, because I live, you also will live. John 14:19. Look at the God of yesterday has not changed. He has simply come nearer to us than any generation ever dared hope. The God of yesterday has revealed himself fully in Jesus Christ and everything he always promised to be. Now, the God of yesterday will also be available to us in all of our tomorrows. You know, the God who spoke to Moses from a burning bush, he hasn't stopped speaking. The God who raised Lazarus from the dead after all those days in the tomb has not lost his power over death, yours or mine, or even the death of a dream. The God who guided Israel by cloud and fire has not misplaced the map of your life. Yesterday's God is tomorrow's God, unchanged, undiminished, and already there. The God of tomorrow deserves our love. John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. And God's love isn't a past tense memory. It's a future promise. Love before your next sunrise. God has already loved you with an everlasting and perfect love, and he will keep on loving you when your strength fails, when your plans fall apart, when the people you've been counting on get up and walk away and you get all angry and everything. That unchanging, ever-pursuing, sacrificial love deserves the first and best of our hearts. Not because we feel like it, but because he is worthy of it tomorrow, exactly as he was yesterday and today. The God of tomorrow will also require our faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2 says, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. Now, fortunately for us, God doesn't ask for success or brilliance or perfect circumstances, only faithfulness. Yeah, the same God who received 2 pennies from a widow is ready to receive tomorrow's small obedience from you. The God who saw into David's heart and considered it more important than his resume will see your quiet trust and faith when nobody else notices. That's because faithfulness isn't flashy. It's daily. It's stubborn. It's the nevertheless trust that the God of yesterday will still be faithful tomorrow. And so will I. The God of tomorrow will be with us all the way and always. Matthew 28:20. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. It's not I was with you. It's not I might be with you if you perform well. Jesus said, I am always. Through every hospital corridor, every empty chair at the table, every unknown zip code, your last breath, he's the same present tense Savior who got up and walked out of Joseph's tomb. So as we leave 2025 behind and step into 2026, please don't do so with clenched fists and fear and anxiety, apprehension and contingency plans. Face the new year with open hands, ready to receive all that God has for you, and with the calm, quiet confidence that the God who has never failed a single yesterday is already waiting in every tomorrow, loving us, calling us to faithfulness, and promising never to leave us high and dry. You know, we ought to just pause for a quick prayer. I don't usually take out the podcast with a prayer, but I just feel like we need to pray today. So I want you, wherever you are, unless you're driving, don't do this. But if you're sitting in your office or sitting at home, listening on your phone or something, just bow your heads and pray along with me, would you? Lord of yesterday, today, and of every tomorrow, we thank you that you never change. Please teach us to love you, not for all that you did for us or all that you're going to do for us, but because you have loved and will love us perfectly. Please make us faithful stewards of the days you give. And when fear comes to us and whispers in our ear that we're walking alone, please remind us of your unbreakable promise. You are with us always. Help us, Lord, to rest in that truth today and trust you for every tomorrow. And all God's people said, amen. All right, gang, it's almost 26 minutes past the hour. Have a great rest of the day today. And Lord willing, we will be back on Wednesday for the next Panic Podcast. God bless you. Talk to you again real soon.